I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today, we watched our final cartoon for 1935. This was a Disney Mickey Mouse cartoon called On Ice. Who would like to describe it? I'll do it.
Yay!
I jumped before you guys could grab it. So this is a cartoon where Mickey and friends are all on a frozen lake ice skating. That's basically the idea of the short. We have different vignettes of Mickey and Minnie being cute as Mickey's trying to teach Minnie how to skate, of Goofy trying to catch fish using tobacco, of Donald playing pranks on poor Pluto. And then the kind of finale is that Donald gets swept up in the wind and has to be saved by Mickey. What do we think of it?
Very cute. Very cute. And I think, I guess the lake filtered into a river because that's where Donald got swept to.
Yeah, apparently
so. But yeah, just a lot of unexpected things, very creative things and interesting.
It was cute. I liked the characterization for Minnie a bit more. I think we're, at least in modern times, used to seeing both her and Mickey as hyper competent. Seeing Mickey kind of teaching her was cute. Even though he's not a good teacher, he just showed off.
Basically. Just showboated.
Yes, yes. I like the different segments for Mickey, Donald, Goofy. Honestly, the Donald Pluto one was pretty slow. But yeah, I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, I like it. I agree. I think the Pluto part goes on a bit too long. Probably could have trimmed some of that. He falls like 4 or 5 times. I don't know. Remove 2 or 3 of them. Like, it's a bit much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I think it's fun and it's fairly unique for reasons that I'll talk about, which is a fun aspect. Oh, and also Horace and Clarabelle got to cameo at the very beginning. So that was nice. They weren't present throughout the short, but we did get to see them a little bit. And poor little Clarabelle fell down. It seemed her fall seemed reminiscent of in the one where they're putting on a play and her, Horace, and Goofy are doing an act together.
Yeah.
How she'd kind of fall with her legs out on either side. But yeah, no, I think it's a pretty cute one. It's like one of the few that's just like uncut on Disney Plus, so it's easily accessible. It's good stuff. Let's get specific. So this is notably one of only 4 shorts in the original theatrical run of shorts to feature all 5 members of the Fabulous Five, which is the collective name for Disney nerds of Mickey, Donald, Goofy, Pluto, and Minnie.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. one of the other 4 only features Minnie, Donald, and Goofy as cameos, and the other and another of the 4 was a promotion for Standard Oil that just featured the characters all marching in a parade. So, in other words, this cartoon is one of only 2 shorts in the original run to significantly feature the Fab Five.
Okay.
We only have 1 more after this before. Minnie, I think, is one of the earliest retired, though I think she gets some, like, Pluto and Figaro from Pinocchio appearances. But after that, I think she kind of disappears. But yeah, it's unique in that way. This is one of the only ones where, like, you think of them kind of as like a big group of friends, but this is one of the only ones where they're actually getting to be that.
They do in Mickey Mouse Playhouse again now. Not shorts.
Uh-huh.
No. Sorry.
Yeah.
I watch it with Parker.
Uh-huh. That is why I said in the original run of theatrical shorts, that
yes.
was sort of the intent there.
I know.
But
I know.
But basically, if you want to think of it this way, it's basically one of only 2 significant times that they're all together until, like, the Christmas Carol one in, yeah. like, 1980s or 70s. And is Minnie... No, Minnie's in that. I think they're all in that.
Yeah, I do.
No, no, wait. Pluto didn't get to be in that. So even that one doesn't count. Pluto didn't get to be in it.
Yeah, it feels like there's shorts with all of them, but I guess who's missing? Is it Pluto most of the time?
I think Minnie and Pluto are the ones, because there's a whole lot of Mickey, Donald, and Goofy shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto will sometimes be in them, Minnie will sometimes be in them, but often not both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just cute, because I do think of them all as friends, and it's fun to see them all together.
Yeah, what did you think of this depiction of all of them?
Well, one is I absolutely loved Mickey putting a pillow for Minnie to fall on multiple times. That was so cute.
And then, like, feather spray in his face because it, I guess, had a seam undone in it. And they just, like, both laugh about it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just having a cute little time.
Yeah, and it was fun. Yes, he wasn't much of a teacher because he was, like you said, he was just kind of showboating and showing off. But it was really fun to see Mickey being really competent and really good at what he was doing, other than the very end where, you know, he kind of...
Well, I think it helped set up the end in terms of, yeah, he's apparently very good at figure at skating, so he can be the one to go rescue Donald, you know, like he makes the most sense. Minnie couldn't do it. Goofy probably wasn't even aware of the problem, and Pluto couldn't do it. So, like, yeah, Mickey's the one.
And then it was cute seeing Goofy. It was cute seeing him with all of his getup. And then when I said that, one of the things that was really enjoyable to me is things that were unexpected. I was like, you know, as soon as he put the pot, I thought about, tobacco or spittoon. And then when he was slicing, that's why I said, oh, is that tobacco? But I was not expecting him to feed it to the fish, or the fish to chew tobacco, or the fish to spit in the spittoon. So
they couldn't just spit it in the water. That'd be gross. Got to put it in the spittoon.
It's really funny. Especially like when the first fish looked, you know, it was like, oh, you know, kind of this panic look about where am I going to spit it? And then looks up and sees the perfect kind of silhouette or whatever. It sees the spittoon, you know, outside of the water. That was so funny.
It's very silly. And then we have Donald here kind of following in his, where he's a bit more of a like trickster prank player.
Yeah, he was a stinker.
Yeah, we don't really get angry Donald in this one, just the like trying to annoy people thing. And I think it's interesting because currently it kind of feels like two different Donalds in terms of characterization. The one that we get where he's trying to give a speech and then the orphans are messing with him and he gets angry. And the one like in band concert in this one where he's like actively like messing with people and like obviously finds it amusing to insert himself. And we haven't really seen them both in the same cartoon yet. But as, you know, he gets his own series and stuff later, you see a melding of both of those. Like, he is a person who will try to play pranks, but then when it backfires on him, he gets real mad and indignant that things didn't go the way he wants, you know? They feel so separate right now, but they eventually meld into the same character.
Yeah, he did seem a little bit annoying when his sweater was unraveling.
Well, sure, but he was also, like, scared because he was maybe gonna die, you know.
And obviously
he was a bit miffed at the end where Goofy hit him over the head, but there wasn't the like jumping up and down gonna fight kind of anger, you know.
It's kind of interesting that I expected like Pluto to give Donald a comeuppance of sorts, but it had to be like nature.
Yeah,
poor Pluto got kind of pathetic. In fact, he almost like cried a couple of times. It's like he just was not being successful either at ice skating the gag was that when he was sleeping that Donald had gone and put ice skates on him. And then Pluto couldn't get his bearings and couldn't navigate the ice. He kept falling and slipping. But he also couldn't figure out how to take the skates off. The other really funny unexpected, along with the fishing thing with Goofy, I forgot to mention, is that it's funny them showing without telling that his lack of intelligence or, you know, him just like not being the sharpest knife in the drawer, because instead of bringing a net to catch these fish that are jumping out with the spittoon, he has a big club and his big idea is he's just going to club them when they jump out. And of course, he keeps missing them. And
if he did hit them, they'd fall back into the water.
So not very smart.
Because he's like doing an overhand swing. He's not like swinging from the side for the most part until he's like getting angry and swiping furiously. So it's like, if you hit them that direction, they're going to go back into the water and you can't get them easily.
Yeah.
But they might get knocked out and float back up.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. And when you frame it like you did earlier, that he's not smart enough to bring a net, and his idea feels like it won't work. But it ostensibly would have.
Yeah,
it's like a dumb but clever idea, but then his execution
Yeah.
Like, he can't take advantage of the clever aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because good, if he had had a net, it would have been just perfect. He could have, you know, probably easily caught them. So, oh, too funny.
And the pretty much all of the characters that we're seeing here are voiced by, like, their main voice actors for this early period. We have Walt Disney doing Mickey, Marcellite Garner doing Minnie, Pinto Colvig as Goofy and Pluto, and Clarence Nash as Donald. Like, these are the iconic original voices for them, too. So that's fun to hear them sounding like what we expect, I think.
I also love the costuming of it. I just loved their gloves and their winter apparel. They were just so cute.
Yeah, I mean, notably, this is in color, talking about the animation. Like, this is in color, and I think they choose really good hues and stuff of the color for the characters, for the backgrounds, for everything to make it really pop, you know? There's a lot of white and blue because it's like winter and snow, but it all looks really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animation I thought was gorgeous. And even the delineation, as you were talking about, in the water, because at the end scene when Donald is going over the waterfall, you have not only the ice and the ice bits, but you have the running water, and you have all kinds of different water features that are just really well done.
Seems like a fairly complicated shot, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of interesting animation with Mickey's showboating. He was skating backwards in the beginning, like facing the camera. So all of the details and the scenery were coming towards us with Mickey moving his legs and stuff. So he was the anchor to the shot. Yeah, it was really dynamic. And there was a couple of scenes that they were doing more complicated animation.
I think it's really funny that during the part where Mickey is showboating, it feels like the animators are too.
Yeah.
It feels like they're like, yeah, let's do these like fun kind of complicated shots with moving backgrounds and stuff because we can.
But it just looked gorgeous. And not only the color, but the dimension, like you were saying, that the shadows, the distinct features, whether it's the stick up against the ice or the trees covered with, you know, with snow or snowbanks, you know, versus the ice of the frozen pond. It was just beautiful.
I know that the scene went on a bit long, but what did you think of the animated characterization of Pluto during his "I have skate stuck to me" time?
I thought it was really well done, and especially, everything from, when his tail, well, I guess that was in it, yeah. when he got his tail on fire, and then he went and had his tail frozen when he stuck his little piney in the opening in the ice. But yes, but his trying to get up, his struggling, his finally getting his feet up, you know, underneath him, and even him using his tail to pump himself up to make his legs go straight. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of times, of course, where he slipped and he fell. And sometimes his legs would get, like, twisted under him. Kind of communicating that and how he would get up from that situation. There was some fun stuff, but it just went on too long.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And I think, aside from it going on too long, I think one of my issues with it is that he mugs the camera too much.
Yeah.
And I get that they're trying to highlight his mood and expressions when they do that, but I guess it feels kind of amateurish to me in terms of you should be able to make him emote and express and understand his emotion without him having to look directly at us. It just feels like, it doesn't feel like a very funny joke or very convincing way to make me feel his emotions, you know? But notably, this gag involving Pluto on the ice skates eventually helped serve as the inspiration for the scene in the movie Bambi where Thumper teaches Bambi how to skate.
Oh, wow! Okay.
So we'll have to keep that in mind when we eventually see Bambi.
Okay, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That's interesting. I'm definitely curious to see the pace of it, if it feels as long or...
I'm guessing it's going to be a lot better.
But... Yeah, like, is it shorter and they're, like, yeah, what do they learn from this? Yeah.
I don't know if there's a whole lot to talk about with the music, but I think the most notable aspect of it was Goofy singing a little song at the start of his segment. Yeah. What'd you guys think of that?
No, I thought it was cute. And the fish as well, when they were spitting into the spittoon, it was to a tune, at least at the end. Nothing else really jumps out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I kind of forgot about that. But yes, it was. I loved them spinning at the end to the beat of whatever that song was. But yeah, I think it just added to me to the charm of Goofy, you know, just with his little gear and just, you know, going to do his fishing. I enjoyed it.
Sing a little song to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually the first time The World Owes Me a Living is used for Goofy, but it's not the first time that that song has shown up in a Disney cartoon. We just didn't all together watch the first time. It actually is originally from a silly symphony called The Grasshopper and the Ants, the like story of the grasshopper who doesn't want to work, and then it becomes winter and he doesn't have any food, like the industrious ants, you know, that kind of thing. But he sings a song called The World Owes Me a Living, and he's also notably voiced by Pinto Colvig. So they have Pinto Colvig sing it again here for Goofy now to kind of show his kind of lazy, lackadaisical side of him. And it would become something of a recurring character trait for him for a couple years. It didn't obviously last until the modern day. I'm sure there's probably a thing here or there that references it as a cute Easter egg, but you don't generally hear him singing that song anymore. But for we're going to hear it in some future cartoons, definitely.
Is the Grasshopper and the Ants, is that a precursor to A Bug's Life?
No. If anything, I think that fable, which obviously existed way before the Silly Symphony, might have served as some level of inspiration for that movie. But, I mean, in the Silly Symphony, the ant is basically like a freeloading lackadaisical guy, not
the,
like...
Ant or the Grasshopper?
The Grasshopper. Not like... A dude controlling the ants for his own...
Bullying the ants.
Yeah, so the relationship's very different. It's like, he is not being the way you should in society. The ants are. And then when wintertime comes, we see how their way of life has made them set up good for it. Whereas he's going to die in the cold, but then they are nice and save him. So, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't have been that way. It's like a very... obvious morality tale, which is why we didn't watch it, because it's boring. But I watched it, but you guys didn't.
I think I have seen that before, though, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it got play on TV and stuff, so. Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? I guess the main thing is that if you have issue with kids watching a cartoon where a character cuts up tobacco and feeds it to fish and then they spit it into a spittoon, then you're not going to like be thrilled with that part. It's definitely not something that would be in a kid's cartoon now, but also, again, my stance, and because it's true, of all theatrical cartoons back in this day is that they aren't made for children. They are generally made for any audience to be able to watch. They're generally not considered objectionable to children, but they're not made like commercially for children, you know, to be on TV for a child to watch commercials in between so they can buy toys. It's to entertain people before a movie, so...
Sure, and I think there's like a standard and practices rule or that they have of like, don't do things that a kid could feasibly
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
It's like, could a kid feasibly do this? No.
I mean, they could feasibly cut up some tobacco and plop it into some water and then it would be gone.
Yeah.
From their parent, presumably.
Yeah.
But I think more than anything, what does it hold up is just like, a lot of people can't relate to the idea of having a block of tobacco that you cut pieces off of and chew. Chewing tobacco just isn't that popular anymore. I think a lot of younger people could watch this cartoon and genuinely, if it didn't say tobacco on it, have no idea what was happening.
For
and
sure.
If they see tobacco on it, still be kind of confused as to what's happening. Being like, I think I've heard people say something about chewing tobacco. Like... It's just not a thing that people think of anymore. You only think of cigarettes nowadays.
Or even tobacco, like in a can of snuff or whatever it's considered. I mean, what I'm just saying is I didn't even know that that is a way that people used to consume tobacco to chew.
I do, and it's mostly because of old cartoons like this.
Yeah.
That's just true. Just a big chunk of it. Cut some off with a knife, chew it, spit it into spittoon.
Again, I literally never seen that other than
just
in this
let it
cartoon.
Decay and destroy your mouth over years because it's one of the most unhealthy ways to consume an objectively only unhealthy product.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, I don't think there was anything objectionable. And I feel like the gags, the animation, the synchronization, fluidity, everything was really good.
Yeah. Let's go on then to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in the cartoon?
Pluto scene. It was too long.
Yeah, it needed to be shorter than it was.
Yeah, I'm going to make that unanimous. I agree. It just went on a little too long.
What was your favorite moment in the cartoon? I mean, honestly, I think it's probably Mickey showboating. I guess I can even go so far as to say the whole Mickey and Minnie thing. They're really cute together when he's helping her not fall. And then his showboating has some really fun animation and angles and stuff like that. It's just a fun part.
Yeah, I'll agree with Mickey, his scene where he's showing off his skating skills. It was a lot of interesting animation.
Really dynamic.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to agree, but I'm going to even hone in on just one of my, I love the whole thing, but my favorite part of that is him putting the pillow down for Minnie and just perfectly catching her several times. And especially even then, I guess it was the second time or third time, whatever, when all the feathers flew up, almost kind of like snow falling down, and he was all covered and just, to me, classic Mickey, which I just love, just being so good natured and just... You know, just laughing with that. So, yeah, love Mickey and Minnie.
Who was your least favorite character in the short? Pluto. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah, I was almost going to say Donald just because he was so stinky, but it was just really Pluto just was not.
I love seeing Donald be a complete jerk. That's part of his appeal. Yeah, Pluto's just... I enjoyed it, and then I was like, okay, I'm over it now, and it was still going on.
Yeah.
And that is frequently a problem with Pluto and stuff.
Yeah, and that's what's sad is because overall, like, I enjoyed the beginning part with Pluto, but that's what made me dislike it, was it going on too long.
Yeah, like, the main style of humor for Pluto in general, it, like, comes from that short that we saw where he, like, got stuck in the... flypaper and was trying to get it off him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a sort of humor that's based in a really slow, methodical, like, reaction to a situation as it slowly unveils. And that can be done well, but it could also really easily just go on way too long. And it did here. Like, at first I was enjoying that aspect of seeing, oh, a thing happened and he's reacting to it and he's trying to figure out how to get out of it, but he just kept falling. It's too much. Who was your favorite character? I think Mickey. I think so. His showboating's really fun and he's cute and having a good time with Minnie, and then he tries to help out his pal Donald. Yeah, I think I'll give it to Mickey.
I'm going to agree. Mickey was just such a cutie, and I really enjoyed all of his little showboating and then his heroic efforts in trying to get Donald. So I do wish they had shortened the scene with Pluto by having Mickey rescue Pluto. See? Could have done that.
Yeah, I'll agree with Mickey. He's the hero of this story. There wasn't really anything complicated about it, so it's pretty straightforward.
That's just a chance to show off the different characters, mostly, it felt like.
I think almost Goofy would have been my second choice, because I did just really like that whole setup and his whole demeanor and that whole scenario.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
I'd recommend this short. It's pretty straightforward. The slowest part is with Pluto, but there's some other fun and interesting things. I think it's also of note that this is one of the few with all five of them. Since Pluto is the slowest part, I guess I'm curious to see the other one and how, if that is like a common thing. I guess it's pretty straightforward, maybe because there is all five of them and you kind of get to see a little bit of everything. I don't know. For a little bit of a knock because of the Pluto slowness, but a bump for the animation in Mickey's show-off part. So I will give it a 3.5.
I definitely liked it better than Mickey's Fire Brigade, and I don't know if it's quite up there with Mickey and the band concert, But I'm actually, I'm definitely going to recommend it. And I'm going to say a 4 because I just absolutely enjoyed it. The animation was beautiful as well as well done. And other than, the slow part with Pluto, I really enjoyed it.
I think I'll echo Valerie here. I've seen this short like many times at this point, and I think it does kind of, it gets worse over time, unfortunately. I think it's just really simplistic. So when you've seen it, like, there's not a lot new to discover when rewatching it. But I still like it. It's still very good. It's one of the few instances of the Fab Five being together and actually doing stuff. It's a cute cartoon. Like, it's if you haven't seen it, you should watch it at least once. Like, it's worth that, 100%. Thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And next time, we'll be taking a little bit of a step back in time, all the way to 1930, because there's a old Fleischer cartoon that I've discovered that's a bit of a precursor to Minnie the Moocher and Bimbo's Initiation that I think is worth our time.
Wow. Okay.
So next time, we'll check that out. Bye.
Bye.
This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=279-0566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening.
Double dragon.
Are you a Sim?
The lock shrugs of them.
Do you want to try your Sim impression?
No.
And what about your chosen expression?
No.
Not expression.